feel welcome. Amen. Father, we love you today. We're so grateful and so thankful for all that you are, all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you'll do. Father, we look to you for our help. Lord, this is where we hear from heaven. Lord, you said you gave gifts unto mankind, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Jesus, you said that people are scattered, dejected, harassed, bewildered. They faint like sheep without a shepherd if they don't have a shepherd. So, Father, we're here doing your plan this morning. So I thank you. I'm not the one that can give help. I'm not the one that can change people's lives. But, Lord, you can say things through me that will. So, Father, as I open my mouth, I thank you. You do fill it with words from heaven. Lord, I thank you. I'll speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that when I open my mouth, it'll be like the pen of a ready writer, Lord, words in season. I'll speak bullseyes into people's hearts. There's so many people here that have different circumstances, different needs. They're going through different things. They need to hear, not one person might need to hear something different than the next person. Well, Father, you're supernatural. You can do that. So I thank you, Lord, that I'll hit bullseyes this morning. I thank you it'll be a sign unto people that you're real, Father, that you have a better tomorrow for them. But more importantly, Father, that this is a safe place where they can come and hear your word. And we'll give you the praise beforehand because we are in full expectation and anticipation of what you're going to do in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. This is part 2 of our authority series. Matthew chapter 8 in verse 5 is where we're going to start. I'm going to do just a quick review and go on to where we need to go. Praise God. I was scheduled to be off today and take the whole week off, but when I was out and about this week, the Spirit of God said I needed to be here Sunday, and so I told Reverend Scott, I gave him the hook. I said, you're out of there. They said you did such a bad job Wednesday, they'd never want to see your face again, and so I'm going to just come in here and try to repair the damage you did, Reverend Scott. Of course, I didn't say that to him. Well, I think I did say it to him and told him I was kidding. And so I'm here obeying God, so there's a reason that God wants me here to say some things this morning. So we're going to be blessed, amen? Not because I'm here, but because God's going to say some things that need to be said in our lives. So Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, it says this, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. What's he saying? I'm in a place of authority. He says, I say, go to one, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And then we drop down to verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, as you have believed, as you have believed, amen, not as God wills, not as what God, just the sovereign God who just decides to do it. No, Jesus said, as you have believed, it's done unto you. The same thing he told the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, the same thing he told blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, the same thing he said in Mark chapter 9, the same thing he said in Matthew chapter 15 with the woman that had the daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. He said, your faith got this done. Amen? Well, go back now, drop down back to verse 9. Where did this great faith come from? Well, he said, I'm a man under authority. He said, Jesus, I'm familiar with authority. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to come to my house. Just like when I have a servant over there, I don't have to go to him to bring him back. I don't have to when I need someone to go from here to there, I don't have to walk them over. No, I just simply say the word. He knew Jesus had authority over sickness and disease. He said, Lord, you don't have to come over. Just speak the word only. And what that do for Jesus? Jesus said, man, I thought you'd want me there. It hurt Jesus' feelings. No, he marveled and said, that is great faith. Where did great faith come out of? The fact that the guy had an understanding of authority. He understood how authority worked. And so because he understood how authority worked, great faith came from it. And we talked about last week that if you don't have an understanding or an idea about authority, you're going to struggle. Praise God. Remember the example I gave you, the natural example, when I got that job supernaturally at the after-school program where I went from being unfaithful for years to faithful in a job that really had not very many responsibilities to put in a job where I had 15 staff members, over 100 kids, responsible for the teacher's things in the school. I was the after-school coordinator at elementary school. And I went there and was just defeated. I mean, my mind, I was stressed, I was worn out, I was getting sick in my body, I was depressed, I was fearful and worried. You know, the staff didn't respect me. I went in the middle of a year and I was working for all the people that the former person who just got fired, they're still working as the teachers in the after school program, so they didn't like me. The teachers were against the after school program because this current staff that was in there messed up their rooms and lost things and stole things, so they pretty much shut down the after school program from being used there. And so I went into a pretty hostile situation. And for weeks I was stressed and I was working almost 80, sometimes more hours a week. I mean, the job was only a 40 to 45 hour a week job, salary job, and I was so stressed out and just ready to quit. And I knew that job was from God. It was supernatural. Financially, we needed it. I got the job supernaturally. And I was defeated, and I went to my boss, and I told her, I said, I'm working all these hours. The kids don't respect me. The parents don't respect me. The teachers don't want anything to do with us, and I'm stressed out on what to do. And she looked at me, and she said, you're the coordinator. Be in charge. Use your authority. If you need to fire people, fire them. If you need to get rid of some kids, get rid of some kids. If some of the parents won't listen, and what that then their kids are gone, you know, and the teachers will come around, and they did. But what happened was I got a revelation of who I was. I got a revelation of what was at my disposal. And all of a sudden, I went from, oh my gosh, I'm dreading when that bell rings at 3 o'clock, I'm dreading staff meetings, to, oh, standing up a little taller, putting the badge on, saying, there's a new sheriff in town. And walking through those halls with confidence, knowing I'm the coordinator, you're going to listen to what I say, or you're not going to be in the program. And the staff members had incentive to be there because they needed the money. The children had incentive to be there because we did things for them that they couldn't otherwise have. It was a very impoverished school, one of the worst in Jamestown. And they had desire and reason to want to be there. So I had leverage. And plus, I had authority. And so I used it. And we had to unfortunately get rid of some families, and we had to unfortunately get rid of some staff members. But you got to weed the garden sometimes for it to grow. And we did, and it grew, praise God. And I found favor with the teachers. My life became simple. The job became a blessing for 2 years. I had that job to the point that when I came in, they hated the after-school program. To the point when I left, the teachers actually, some of them came up to me in tears begging me not to leave because they knew how good it had turned around. Well, that was only because I learned my authority. And Christians, listen up, Christians, God has bestowed upon you authority to rule and reign. Let me show you something real quick here. We didn't look at this verse, but this just popped up in my spirit. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. You see, Christians walk through this life like I walked through that after school program before I got the revelation. They walk through it defeated. They walk through it depressed. They walk through it anxious. They walk through it worried. They walk through it sickness taking over their body. They walk through it in poverty. And they have no idea that if they would just be the Christian, be the coordinator, Mike. She told me just be the coordinator. If you'd be the Christian that God has empowered you to be, you can start taking care and putting out those fires. But until you know it, and until you realize who you are, and then learn what you have at your disposal, and then start acting on what you have, those fires will keep raging in your life all the time. But look at the plan and the will of God. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, talking about Adam in the garden, when he sinned and missed it, death then took over. The devil then became in charge. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign when they get to the sweet by and by, and when they get to heaven, everything will be okay. No. God's plan through Jesus was that you reign in life. Not in heaven, reign. What does reign mean? To rule, to be in charge, to have dominion, praise God. Some people are being ruled by sickness. Some people are being ruled by fear, depression and poverty and anxiety and worry. They're just taking over their life. And the Bible says you're to reign over the things of life. Amen. But most Christians, ladies and gentlemen, have no idea about that. I didn't know it growing up. Many of my friends and family are still in places where they're teaching you that you're just the scum of the earth. Watch out for the devil. And someday, I see head shake out there. You know the places I'm talking about. Someday, when we get to the sweet by and by, then we'll get our glory. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no doubt heaven's going to be wonderful. And in heaven, we won't have to use authority. But down here, we have to use authority. But we have the ability to reign in life. Jesus said, I've come to give you the abundant life, not the depressed life. Not the horrible life, not the poverty life, not the sickness life. But they don't know that they're supposed to reign. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 we'll look at. Just quick review here. So we're talking about authority. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the Bible tells us the one that's coming after us is the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 says he's our adversary or our opponent. This backs that up. But then it goes on to tell us in verse 12 where our fight is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What's he saying? The fight's not in the natural, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle's not in the natural, the battle's in the spiritual. Well, the devil's not a natural being, he's a spiritual being. The Bible says your adversary, your opponent, is the devil. Well, he's not a natural being, he's a spiritual being, amen? So that's where the war is. Well, how then are we to deal with the devil? Well, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, and then we're going to pick up from here. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. When you realize what God did for you, see, a lot of Christians, they stop at the cross and they stop at salvation and they're so thankful that they're born again. Listen, I'm thankful I'm born again. I'm thankful I'm born again more than anything else. But I'll tell you what, if someone pays for me to go on a cruise and I get to go on the boat and I get to see all the things and that's good, I'm thankful for that. But I'm also thankful I have access to the all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. I'm thankful that I have the access to all the different things that are on the ship that I get to do too. Why just go and just enjoy one thing? If it's all available to you, yes, heaven's available to us, but if prosperity is, I want it. If health is, I want it. If peace of mind is available through Jesus, I want it, ladies and gentlemen. And when you realize what God has done for you and the position He's put you in, oh man, you'll stand up a little taller. When things start to come trespassing in your life, I don't know about you, but do you just let any old person just walk into your house, sit on the couch and throw their feet up? No, that's trespassing on your stuff. Do you let anybody just go, come out of Walmart and you're walking to your car and you go to get in, they say, excuse me, grab your keys and just take off. Oh, you have, enjoy the ride. No, that's trespassing on your stuff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God, through Jesus, has given you healing. He's given you prosperity. He's given you through peace. So when the enemy comes to take it away, why do we just, well, I guess just that's my lot in life. Because we don't know. We don't know. And what we don't know hurt us. So Luke chapter 10 and verse 17 says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. Well, who's Satan? He's our adversary. He's the wily one, right? He's the one causing all the problems. And it says in verse 19, behold, I give unto you power. Now, we told you that word power there, translated in the Greek, is the word exousia. And that's not should not be translated power. It should be translated authority, because there's another word that's the word power in here. And that's translated in the Greek as dynamis or dunamis. So it should read this way. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying against your adversary, against your opponent, the thing that's going to stop him in his place is authority. You can't outpower the devil, but you can use your authority the same way a police officer can't outpower a Mack truck in traffic, but all he can do is stand up and use his authority, and that thing will stop in its tracks. Amen. He'd rather use his authority than try to power that thing to a stop. Amen. And Jesus said the way you're going to deal with the devil is you're going to deal with him through authority. Well, why do we have to use authority of the devil? I'm not going to go back there and show you. But 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 calls the devil the god of this world. Jesus called him the prince. Amen. He's the one in charge. You look around and watch the news for 5 minutes, you'll see what I'm talking about. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. God is love. So when you see things on the news that don't look perfect and don't look good, don't chalk it up to God. Amen? You say, how'd the devil get this power? Well, God told Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1, I'm giving you the power to rule and reign. Just the same way if I said, here's the title and the keys to my truck. Well, once I give that over to you, you're free to do with it whatever you want. God said, here's the keys to planet Earth, Adam and Eve. Do with it what you want. Well, what'd they do? Just the same thing you could do. You could say, well, I want that truck. I'll keep that truck and drive that around. Or I'm going to hand that off to somebody else. You're free to do with it whatever you want. Well, they handed it over to the devil, didn't they? By obeying the devil, they said, you're in charge of us. Well, the devil became in charge. That's why the Bible said, by one man's offense, death reigned. Death became in charge. By one man's sin, it all fell apart. And see, the interesting thing is God warned them. He said, dress the garden, keep the garden, guard the garden. Well, you don't have to dress and keep something if there ain't going to be a problem. He was telling them, there's a problem coming, but do something about it. And they had dominion and authority over every creeping thing that creeped upon the earth, over all the earth, and they didn't do it. They gave it over to the devil, so the devil became in charge. But praise God, Jesus got it back for us. When he died on the cross, he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and now the Christian has authority over the devil. So don't be dismayed that the devil's the god of this world. He's not the god of you and I. Jesus is still on the throne, praise God. But we have to use our authority. Notice he said, I give unto you authority. And that's what we're going to pick up today. You know, I had somebody, actually, two separate people. One from this church, one from the Olean church come up to me because I started this series in Olean a week before Reverend Greer showed up. And then he preached a lot about this stuff. And they came up to me and they said, you know, we were taught that you don't say anything about the devil. That you steer clear of the devil. And I was too. You know, he was big bad devil with the pitchfork. You're afraid of him, right? And that you just you kind of try to stay under the radar and stay hidden from the devil because he's so powerful and so mighty and he could do so much to you. You just hope you're not found in his sights. Well, that's just not biblical. We have nothing to fear with him, ladies and gentlemen. And I hear it all the time, the ignorance in the body of Christ. And it's not demeaning or putting anybody down. It's just, you know, the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know is going to hurt you. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to the things of God. And I hear people say all the time, Pastor, say, how's things going? Not good. Oh, I know it's coming then. What do you mean not good? Well, that devil's after me. And I want to say, but I'm more loving this, I want to say, so now you're seeing what I want to do. But so when I don't say this to you, you'll know what I really wanted to say. I want to say, what is your point? The devil's after you, what is your point? Or, Pastor, will you pray for the devil to get off my back? I said, no, I won't. That would be an unscriptural prayer. Or I hear Christians say, they'll pray to God or cry out to God, Lord, do something about the enemy. Do something about the enemy. God is not going to do anything. It's going to do just as much good for you to ask God to do something about the enemy as it would for all of us right now to stand up, twiddle our thumbs, and sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It'll do just as much good. Praise God. It will. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I'm having a hard time swallowing that, believing that. Well, I'm going to show you today, because if it's true we have an opponent, and if it's true we need to use authority, then we need to see without a shadow of a doubt that God is not going to do a lick about the devil. I don't care what kind of trouble and trial and problems he's causing your life. I don't care how bad it gets, how much suffering you're in, how impoverished, how bad your mind is. God is not going to do a single thing about the devil for you. Now, don't take my word for it. We're going to take the Bible's word for it. Amen? Now, we have a book out on the book table by a man named Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin founded the Bible school that I went to in the 70s, Rhema Bible Training Center in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And Brother Hagin is really responsible for all the family churches being here because my pastor, who started all these churches, that was his spiritual dad in the faith. And he sat under Brother Hagin's teachings. And we don't magnify a man ever because if the message isn't right, the man's nothing. Amen? But we magnify the message that came through the man. And one thing about Brother Hagin was he was so safe. He always backed up everything with the Bible. And there's a book out on the book table called I Believe in Visions. There's a couple of big stacks left. It looks like a lot of you still need to get it. Amen? Because it'll bless you and help you. Amen? It's called I Believe in Visions. And in one of those, I believe in that book, I get the books mixed up between the Triumphant Church and the Believer's Authority, but I believe it's referenced If not, it's because I've mixed them all up. You say, did you even read the book? Yes, I've read the book. I read them every year, but I get them all mixed up because I'm listening to so many sermons by him and read so many books by him. But I believe in that book, that vision is out there, about in 1952, how Jesus visited Brother Hagin and talked to him about, he said, I'm here to talk to you about demons and demonic oppression and talk to you about the devil. And so... The Lord went on and shared some things with Brother Hagin that we're going to share with you here today. But real quick, go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 in verse 17, or verse 16. Because you hear that, and again, we don't go by visions. We don't go by prophecies. We don't go by what people have said they've seen. We don't go by dreams. We go by the Word of God. Any dream, any vision, any word that you get that does not line up with the Bible, you throw it away. I don't care if you tell me, Apostle Paul appeared to me and said this, if it don't line up with the word, you throw that away. You do know the devil can make things appear. You do know the devil's a supernatural being. But the one thing the devil won't do is he won't come with the power of the Word of God. Amen? So when Brother Hagin gives visions and things, who cares what he says he saw? Who cares what he said he heard if it doesn't line up with the Bible? But the important thing is visions, are visions and revelations and things like that, supernatural things happening to people, are they legit? Are they real? Because I'll tell you what, the church I grew up in, they you don't talk about that stuff. I mean, that was taboo. That spirit, supernatural Holy Ghost stuff, you leave that out. Isn't it amazing the churches that leave the Holy Ghost out, yet the Holy Ghost is the only part of the Trinity still on the earth, yet the churches don't want anything to do with Him? Why? Because it's not normal to their mind and flesh. But ladies and gentlemen, we conform to the Bible. The Bible doesn't conform to us. Amen? And if you stay with it long enough, there's going to come things across your plate. They're going to be weird to your mind and weird to your flesh. But if they're in the Bible, you know you're safe. Amen? You know you're safe. That's how you stay safe. Praise God. How do cults get started? People stray away from this and they follow the cult instead of, hey, wait a minute, that's not in the Bible. Where does it say to drink the Kool-Aid? Yeah. Amen. That's what people do. Yeah. I'm telling you, there's a lot of cults out there that come in the name of Jesus that would be cleared up quickly if they would just look at their doctrines. Yeah. Amen. I'm talking the popular ones. Yeah. Hey, you home? If you look and they come in the name of Jesus, you go ahead and look at their doctrine. Way off the Bible. Way off the Bible. Say, you're against certain people. No, I love all people. But I'll tell you what, I'm a protector of the flock. And just because someone comes in the name of the Lord, you back it up with the Word of God. That's how you stay safe. How do you stay safe when some 37-year-old short gray, is that a 38 or 30? 38 years old. 38-year-old gray-headed guy stands up here and preaches to you. How do you know you're safe? Can it be backed up by the Bible? When I give you books, how do you know you're safe? Can it be backed up with the Bible? Amen? We're a Bible church. Praise God. And so our vision's biblical. Well, let's look real quick. Acts chapter 2 and verse 16 says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This was on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out. People were praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. They said, what in the world is going on? Kind of like what a lot of people in the church do nowadays with the Holy Ghost stuff. What in the world is this? And he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He's saying Joel's prophecy is coming to pass before our eyes. That in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now look at this. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So go back to verse 17. He said, in the last days, one of the things that will be apparent, and we saw this in the book of Acts through the Apostle Paul and other people, that visions happened in the Old Testament, but they happened in the New Testament as well after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So visions are biblical. And over there, I believe it's in, we're not going to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe Paul said, I will come to visions and I will come to revelations. He knew he was going to be used that way. So visions are legit. Visions are real. Would you mind if I told you a few stories? Stories are fun. Story time. I've only been used in visions a few times in my life, but the few times that I was used in them, they were mighty and they were supernatural. I remember I was leading the Jamestown, the Jamestown Family Church. Pastor Tim is one of my friends, best friends, is my best friend down there, and he pastors that church, and I was leading the youth group years ago. And it was a Friday, we had youth group on Friday, and I was driving around, I don't even remember what I was doing that day. I was just praising God and getting ready for the service that evening. And all of a sudden, I wasn't thinking about this at all, what I got, this vision. All of a sudden, I saw while I was driving. I mean, I saw it. I saw a picture of myself, and I knew it was that night. This sounds funny until you hear the whole story. I saw myself sticking my index fingers in somebody's ears and pulling them out and saying, "Be healed in Jesus' name." And I saw myself do that, and I knew by one of the gifts of the Spirit, which is a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, that somebody was going to have hearing problems and that that was what's going to happen in service that night. Well, I just kind of left it on the shelf. I knew what I had seen, but you know, your head gets involved in things and you start thinking, I made that up and that. And got to service that night. And it was a night where a lot of our youth kids had to go to a school function that was mandatory. We had a very faithful youth group, but a lot of them were gone that night, so the crowd was a little bit less. And I'm not thinking of anything of that vision. I got done preaching my sermon, and I'm giving the salvation call where I'm inviting the kids to receive Jesus that never have. And in my spirit, I get that picture again of doing that. And I knew by the word of knowledge that I was supposed to call out a hearing problem, and I was supposed to act out what I saw in my spirit, in that vision earlier in the day. Well, as I'm leading the salvation call, I'm talking to the church, I'm having a conversation in my head. And I'm saying, all the kids that are left here, listen, when you do youth group, you know everything about the kids because they make sure to tell you everything about their lives. I said, there ain't nobody here that has a hearing problem. I would have known about it by now. They tell us everything. But there was one new girl that had come, and I knew I was supposed to act out what I saw in my what the vision I saw earlier in the day. I didn't know she was coming, never met her in my life, didn't know anything about her. And I'm having the conversation in my head saying, there ain't no regular youth kid here with a hearing problem. I'm certainly not going to call out this brand new girl who's going to probably be embarrassed, never come here again, and probably wake up in the morning with a lawsuit or something. Just all these thoughts are going through my head. And so I'm getting ready to close it, and nobody got born again in that service. So I'm getting ready to close it, and I had that feeling that if I didn't do it, I'm going to have a tough time sleeping at night. Ladies and gentlemen, it bothers me to disobey God. Don't know if it bothers you, but it bothers me. I can't sleep when I disobey Him. And so I finally said, I got to obey God, kids. And I said, I didn't tell the vision first. I said, who here? And I fully expected in my head, you talk about a man of faith up here. I was a doubting Thomas for sure. I fully expected to have nobody raise their hands, nobody come forward and to look like a dummy. I said, who here's got the hearing problem? And the girl, the brand new girl that never been there before, her hand shot up. I said, my God, this is something, you know? And I said to her, I was driving around today. I said, I saw in the spirit tonight's service, and I saw in a vision. And I point out, you know, visions are biblical. You can't turn them on. You can't turn them off. They're as the Lord wills. I said, I saw myself putting my index fingers in somebody's ears and saying, be healed in the name of Jesus and healing coming to you. I said, would that be okay if I, you know, when you're a youth group leader, you can talk a different way. I said, would it be okay if I jam my digits in your ears? Would that be all right? She said, yes. And she came forward. And so I just did what the Spirit of God told me to do. And I stuck, and she told us the percentage of hearing loss. I can't remember now, but in one ear it was almost, I think, 70 to 80%. And in the other ear, I think she had like 25 to 50% hearing. She was in bad shape. And I stuck my fingers in her ear, just like I saw in that vision. And I pulled them out. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. When I did that, she started weeping. And it scared the living daylights out of me. I thought, oh man, what did I do to her? What have I done? And she's crying and crying, and I'm trying to get her composed. And finally I said, what happened? And she threw her hands in the air. I can hear! I can hear! Her ears cleared up immediately. And she's weeping. She didn't care who was around her. She didn't care that she was brand new, that we didn't know her, that some of the other kids didn't know her. All she cared about is she came in not hearing. She left hearing completely, to the point where I walked up behind her and I said, "Could you hear a whisper before?" She said, "No, I can't hardly hear anything when people are talking right to me." I went up to her behind her ear and whispered different, like, things to say to her, and she spoke. She said, "I know what you said. I heard that as clear as day. Praise God." She fell to her knees and wept and wept and wept and cried, to the point. Now, when one of the neat things about youth group, Cal would have liked this, because Cal brought dino nuggets to our last fellowship dinner. We would make things like dino nuggets and cheese sticks and stuff. And the kids look forward to that. You know, she would not stop crying, would not stop praising God. And so we asked a couple of the faithful girls that were there to go over in the corner with her. We went and did youth group activities, made the food, while she stayed there and wept and just praised God for her hearing. Amen? Amen. Visions are real, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Praise God. I was on a lawnmower once working for Jim and Sue at the farm years ago, just mowing the lawn, not thinking about anything. And all of a sudden, I saw my cousin climbing a mountain. And she was climbing a mountain, and she got to about the peak of the mountain, but she didn't know she was at the peak. It was real foggy and cloudy. And she had one last strain to go to get to the top of that mountain. And I saw in the spirit, by the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, that she was going, I didn't know this at the time, that she was going through hell on earth. Came from a very tough background, very tough family life. Didn't know she was going through a tough thing, and saw that she was about to quit and give up. But I also saw by a word of wisdom, which is being shown something in the future, that if she quit life, I saw how life would be. And I saw if she didn't quit and didn't give up on God, how life would be. And so I stopped the lawnmower and called her up. And I said, "This is what I just saw." I said, "I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you what I saw." I said, "You're going through something real hard right now. And, you know, you're straining." I said, "And you're about to quit." And I could hear her on the other end start sniffling and crying. And I said, "And you're about to quit and give up." I said, "Don't quit and give up." I said, "You can't see it, but your victory's right around the corner. Keep straining. Don't give up. Don't quit." And she's crying. She said, "Pastor Mike," she called me Pastor Mike, "I've just been so hard." And she went and told me all the things that were going on, things I had no idea she was going through. I can't do this anymore. I didn't think I was going to do it. But I'm close. I said, "You're close." I said, "I saw it in the spirit." I said, I saw you climbing a mountain. You're almost to the peak. Don't stop. I know it's tough, but you've been climbing. But you're going to get there. And when you get there, it's going to be so magnificent and just wonderful." Well, she didn't quit. Praise God. And her life completely turned around. She married a wonderful man from the Jamestown Church. They're both serving in the church. He has his own business that's flourishing and thriving. And they have two beautiful children. Praise God. And I saw all that in the spirit beforehand if she had quit. So are visions real? Absolutely they're real. Praise God. Say, "Why can't I have one? Why? How do I get them?" They're as the Spirit wills. They're as God wills them. Amen? Don't have a lot of experience. I'm no Brother Hagin, but I wanted to share with you just a few of mine before we get into his. Because the Lord appeared to Brother Hagin in 1952. Now again, it doesn't matter what this vision says if it's not backed up by the Bible. But the Lord appeared to Brother Hagin and said, "I'm here to teach you about the devil, about demonic oppression, and about demons." And so Brother Hagin's excited about this. You know, Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus appeared to people in the New Testament. We see that. I want him to appear to me. Amen. But don't be wishing and begging for a vision. The devil will accommodate you. Amen. Just as the Lord wills, whatever he wants to do, you know. But anyways, he appeared to Brother Hagin, and he said, "I'm going to teach you about these things." And while he was starting to teach about these things, in ran a little demon, a demon creature, and stood between Jesus and him and started making the noise, "Yakety yak, yak, yak. Yakety yak, yak, yak." And Brother Hagin couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. And it was frustrating to Brother Hagin. I mean, you get Jesus to appear to you, you want to know what he's saying. Now, some of you might say, "I've heard this story before." Well, there'll be more nuggets today and things that will come out that will be pertinent. So just be hungry, amen? Just be hungry. And so he said, "I couldn't hear. I got frustrated." And I noticed Jesus wasn't doing a single thing about it. So finally, I got frustrated and yelled, "In the name of Jesus, basically, you stop doing this. Like, get out of here." He said that devil just flopped on the ground and stood there or laid there and shook, you know, and took care of that problem. You can read more about it, I believe, in that book, or The Authority of the Believer has it really detailed. And he said, "Jesus, why didn't you do something about that devil?" And the Lord said something to him that boggled his mind and upended his doctrine. He said, if you wouldn't have done anything about the devil, I couldn't have done anything about the devil. And Brother Hagin said to him, Lord, I know I misheard you. There's no way I heard what I think you just said. You certainly couldn't have said that you couldn't have done anything about it. He said, that's what I'm saying to you. If you wouldn't have done anything about the devil, I couldn't have. Not wouldn't have, I couldn't do anything about the devil. Brother Hagin said he started to like wiggle his ears, make sure he still had ears. Lord, I know that you didn't say what I think you said. There's no way you said you couldn't have done anything about the devil. And the Lord said to him, he said he got real stern and said, I told you, if you wouldn't have done anything about the devil, I couldn't have done anything about the devil. And Brother Hagin said, Lord, I've read through the New Testament about 150 times. I've memorized 2/3 of the New Testament. And if there's anything like that in the Bible, because he told Jesus, he said, I can't accept this, Lord. Brother Hagin was a man of the Word. He said, I can't accept this vision. I can't accept what you're saying if it's not in the Word. And I've read the Word 150 times, and I can quote 2/3 of the New Testament. And if there's anything like that in there, I don't know it. And Jesus said to him, son, there's a lot in there that you don't know. Amen? And I'll tell you, that's a lesson of humility right there. And he told him that, and he said, Lord, okay. He said, well, the Bible, and this is what I preached about Brother Hagin, he's got Jesus in front of him, and he's putting Jesus on the stand. Amen? If Jesus appears to you, put him on the stand, because the devil, I'll tell you, he can make things appear. And he said, Jesus, the Bible says, out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. If you're going to tell me that you can't do anything about the devil, that I have to do something about the devil, you're going to have to back that up with the Bible. You're going to have to give me 3 references that prove what you're saying. And Jesus said, I'll do you one better and give you 4. Amen? So do you want to see in the Bible what the Word says about you and your opponent? About what the Word says about you and the devil that's after you? Because it's the devil why there's poverty. It's the devil why there's fear. It's the devil why your kids are having trouble. It's the devil why there's anxiety and all that. Do you want to see what you have to do? Don't be looking to God. Don't be begging the pastor. Don't be on the floor, oh God, do something. No. Just like God told Brother Hagin. If you don't, I can't. Right. Right. Amen. Well, Pastor, prove that by the Word. Well, let's prove it by the Word. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, praise the name of Jesus. We're getting equipped. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. I didn't learn this in Sunday school. Did you? I didn't learn this in church. Jesus said in Matthew 28, in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, authority, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now look what he did in verse 19. Jesus told Brother Hagin, now we know by looking at the rest of these verses, this is what happened. He said, this is where I transferred my authority to the church. Because Jesus isn't on the earth. What good does it do for Jesus to have the authority over the devil who's on planet earth if Jesus isn't here? Yeah. Jesus isn't here, but his body is. Yeah. So Jesus transferred his authority, said all authority, that means over all that's going on in the earth, that would include the devil, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, this is where I transferred my authority to the church. So now the church, remember in Luke chapter 10, it says, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, who does the authority lie with? It lies with the church. The same way, when God gave Adam and Eve dominion over all the creeping things that creep out of the earth, when the devil came slithering into the picture, if they would have said, God, do something about the devil, God would have said, I gave you authority over all things on the earth. You do something about that snake. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. It's like I give you the keys to my truck and the title, and you come to me and say, Pastor Mike, it's been 2 years and the engine blew up. I never got an oil change. What did you do? I'd say, that's not my problem. That was your authority. Amen. Okay, now let's just right now flush all our religious teaching and thinking out the window. Because to say that God is not going to do anything about the devil, or that Jesus is not going to do anything about the devil, will upend religion and will upend religious teaching and doctrine that maybe have been ingrained in people. But ladies and gentlemen, we don't care what grandma said. We don't care what pastor or preacher so-and-so said. We don't care what TV preacher says. What does the Bible say? Amen. So let's see what the Bible says about the devil, who's your opponent and your adversary. Go to Mark 16. Jesus said, I'll give you four references. All he needed to do was give them two. But he said two or three, two or three. He said, I'll give you four, praise God. Don't you just love Jesus? He is the Word. You'd think he would know where they are. Mark 16. Here's the first reference that tells you to do something about the devil. Chapter 15, or Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not the unbelievers, them that believe. What is the first thing Jesus said would follow the life of the believer? In my name, they, not God, not Jesus, in my name, they. Who's they? The believers. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Amen. So who's it up to? Whether the devil stays around or if the devil gets cast out, it's not up to God. He's not casting them out. It's not up to Jesus. Jesus said the believers will cast them out. That's reference number one. We ought to be a devil casting out bunch, praise God. The devil ought to run from us. He ought to be so afraid of us, but we're so afraid of him because we just don't know who we are, praise God. But Jesus said the first thing is you have the ability and the authority to cast out devils. Hallelujah, that's number one. Go to number two in Ephesians chapter 4. We won't take a whole ton of time looking at these. What am I trying to get through your skull? You got to use your authority. You got to know your authority. God's not going to just do it because you're pretty. Just because you're a special child. Just because he loves you, he's not going to do it. He needs you to obey the word. Because if he just does it for you and violates his word, he becomes a liar for eternity. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 says this. Neither, now this is written to the church, the believers, neither give place to the devil. He's telling the believers, don't give the devil a place. So what's he saying? If the devil has a place in your life, it ain't his fault. Do you see it? Amen. This kind of stuff will get right up under your chin and make you uncomfortable because it just totally obliterates what we've been taught our whole life. But we need to take control of our situations. He said, don't give place to the devil. I went on a deer hunt this past October to Illinois. Didn't get anything, went back in December and was able to get one. But back before we went, I went with Pastor Tim, Reverend Randy, who's a minister out of Pastor Tim's church, who led me to Jesus. Brad Holford, who's Pastor Tim's associate pastor, and then Brad's dad, Pete Holford. And all four of them are very social guys. They like to be around people. And I'm like the castaway that just, I don't mean to be mean or a jerk about things. I just like to be alone. They wanted to have a get-together to talk about the trip, build the camaraderie, that rah-rah Siskumba, or whatever the Beach Boy said. That's just not me. I'm the quiet, leave me alone, I just want to be by myself type of guy. And so they had this dinner before. We were going to talk about the details and get excited and look at the trail cam pictures and exchange the text messages that the guy in Illinois had been sending us and talk about the trip. And last thing I wanted to do, you know. So they asked me, and, you know, I was leaning towards no way am I going to this thing, but I left it open. I said, you know, I might come. Well, when I say I might come to that, Pastor Tim knows that means you ain't going to see Pastor Mike. And I wasn't going to go. I decided I'm not going to that thing, but that it started to weigh on my heart a little bit that, you know, it might mean a lot to the guys if I go, and life's not all about me, and my heart was telling me to go, and so just obeyed, you know, and went and thought, man, this would be good for the trip. I'll go and have fun, and I'll put it on. You know, I'll be social and have fun. It was fun, but and so And that'll teach you something too. You know, I've been able to help a lot of people in this position, but you know, naturally my flesh and my mind hate being up here right now. I'd rather be in the back row and not have to be seen or noticed. I remember the first time I ever preached, I literally, I don't know how many times, threw up in my mouth. It never exited my mouth, but I did throw up my mouth a bunch of times. I was so nervous. I was sweating, couldn't sleep. I worked myself up because the thought of standing in front of people terrified me. But the Lord told me I was called to preach, and I had a choice. I can lay my life down for Him and stand before Him someday and have Him tell me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or I can do my own thing and stay out before Him and have Him just say, "Well, you made it." Yeah. Big difference. You know, there. If you're going to get, this is just a side journey, if you don't mind me saying this. If you're going to fulfill everything that God has for you and do everything that God has for you, you're going to have to lay your own desires and wants down. Jesus said, take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow Him. You know, why a lot of people don't fulfill what God has for them or obey the Word is because you're on a me program. And I'll tell you what, that's a shallow way to live life. Every day I wake up living for a greater purpose, and I'll tell you what, there's meaning in that. Amen? And God blesses me with things, and I get to do fun things. But I laid my life down, and so to do this and be a blessing, because I certainly don't want to be doing this. I don't want to play guitar. My God, I don't want to sing in front of you. I mean, I don't want to sing in front of you, and I got to do that twice a week. Oh, just turn my mic down lower than everybody else's, you know, and I don't want to have to stay up here, but you know what? It's for the greater good, and there's things God wants to do in your life. There's things the church needs. There's things that people need in your own life and people that need to hear about Jesus, but you just got to lay your life down for Him. Amen? Amen? So I did that day. You know, this is minor, but I did it for the greater good. And so, but before then, like a couple hours before, Pastor Tim asked me, "Are you coming?" I said, "I don't think so." I said, "I don't know. You might see me," is what I said. "You might see me." Well, to him, that's like, he's going to be gone. You know, we're not going to see him there. So he got there and told, it was at Pete's house, the older gentleman, and said, and his son, Pastor Brad, said, "Is Pastor Mike coming?" And he said, "No." We're talking about Pastor. I mean, it's like my reputation precedes me, right? Of course he's not coming. And they laughed. So there's four guys there, and they had a place set, and they were going to make Italian sausage and stuff. And I did show up, and I got there like, "Hey, Pastor Mike." You know, they were shocked, you know. I'd imagine that's probably what they would look like if they saw Jesus for them. It'd be that much of a surprise that I was showed up that day. And I walk in, and it was hilarious. I love awkward, funny things like this. I see Pete kind of getting hot under the collar because he's only got four place settings out, and there's five. I'm the fifth guy. And they don't have one for me because they never, the millionaires, thought I was going to come. So there wasn't a place set for me, amen? And so I had to watch him like sneak over to the cupboard, grab one real quick and throw it down like it was always there. I just thought that was funny. But there was no place for me. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to hit some things here that's going to help people. A lot of people in the body of Christ are setting the table for the devil in their life and inviting him into their home and inviting them into their family and inviting them into their children and inviting them into their finances and inviting them into their body. And it might be out of ignorance, but the Bible tells us, don't you give him a place. Yet so many people are setting the table for the devil, and he's peering in on your life. And you don't know it, but he said, "Oh, there's a place setting for me. I must be invited. I'm going to go on in." Can I help you for a second? I want to show you a few places in the Word where the Bible says you'll give place to the devil. Now, remember this. I'm not trying to puff up the devil. He's not big, bad, and scary. Because when you use your authority, he's under your feet, which we'll learn next week. He's defeated. But the Bible does say in 1 Peter chapter 5 about your opponent to be vigilant. You know what vigilant means? To be careful, to be on guard, to be watchful. And I'll just tell you the truth about the body of Christ. People go through this life with their head in the clouds, no idea about spiritual things, just let any old thing waltz into their life, and the devil's saying, "Got him, got him, got him." And the dangerous thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, is his resume is stealing, killing, and destroying. He wants to jack your life up. He doesn't want to be a blessing to you, but the Bible says you're to do something about him. Don't give him a place. So I'm going to show you in the Word how not to give him a place. Are you ready? Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at these real quick. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith, or with the shield, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So guess what? If you leave your shield of faith at home, the fiery darts of the wicked, which always include stealing, killing, and destroying, will be able to pierce your life. Do you see it there? If you're going to walk in doubt and unbelief, talk in doubt and unbelief, not talk in the Word, not speak in faith, being worried all the time, walk in fear, you are setting a place for the devil. How? Your shield goes down, the darts get you. Whose job is it to raise the shield of faith? Your job. He told you to take it. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Praise God. James chapter 3 and verse 16. Where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If you're going to be a person that's going to be a strife stirrer upper, someone that is going to walk in bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and have bitterness and grudges towards people, just know this. You can do that if you want, but you're setting a place for every evil work to come into your life. Amen. That's the word. You go ahead and talk behind people's back. You go ahead and stir up strife. You go ahead and be bitter and hold grudges. But you're setting a placemat for the stealer, the killer, and the destroyer to come on in. Amen. Thank you for helping me, Pastor Mike. You're welcome. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4 and verse 6. If you don't want to take the time to turn there, just look up on the screen. For my people are destroyed. Now, who's the destroyer? Satan. Jesus said, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. My people, my precious people, are destroyed for what they don't know. Why does pastor pound the pulpit? Be here Wednesday. Be here Sunday. Because I'm giving you valuable information. Teaching you faith. Teaching you authority. Teaching you what the Bible says about healing. About victory. About prosperity. Because if you don't know those things, you'll be destroyed. Why? Because Jesus said if you know the truth, you'll be set free. It's not the act of going to church that gets you to walk in victory. Christians are going to churches all over the world and their lives don't look like victory. It matters what's being taught. It matters what's being said behind the pulpit. But if what's being said behind the pulpit is good and full of faith, but there's nobody to hear it, you'll just keep walking in ignorance. Let me just go on a rant here because a door opened in the spirit. 52, well, we're not here every Wednesday, so let's say 44, 45 Wednesdays a year. God's doing exactly what He's doing on a Wednesday as He's doing right now, delivering mail, delivering knowledge, delivering things that we need for life. And so many people never avail themselves to a midweek service. They never catch up on live stream. And that's the equivalent of God dropping something wonderful in your mailbox and you not going out there and seeing what it was. It's not about showing up that matters. It's about hearing it and doing it that matters. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if it was about going to church and about the act of praying, I'll tell you what, the Muslims, they have us beat. They pray all the time, they go to church all the time, but they're serving a dead God. It's not making a difference. It's not about the act of these things, it's about understanding what I need. And Jesus said in His Word, my people are destroyed for what they don't know. I think about times I've preached whole series on healing, on how to get it, what God said about it, how to appropriate healing, how to keep your healing. And people miss weeks and weeks. And then sickness comes. They have no idea what to do. No idea what to do. Preach on faith. Preach on money. Well, this is how God does it. It's not beating him hip over the head. We understand you have a life and have a job, but we need to make effort to get our mail. We need to make an effort. Understand, wait, I wonder, I just can't, it boggles my mind. Did Pastor say something on Wednesday? I mean, do people even think about this? I wonder if Pastor said something on Wednesday that'll change my whole life. People, just they go through life, head in the clouds. And the devil will pounce on that. He will pounce on ignorance. Amen. You know, if you show up once a year or every single day, at we have church, I'm going to hug you the same, love you the same, and treat you the same. It ain't about that. It's about getting you what God's trying to get to your life. Amen. Don't take it as, oh, you're beating me up, I'm so busy. And no. I'm trying to tell you it's valuable. What you don't know is going to hurt you. Amen. Praise God. My people are destroyed. Why? Because the devil preys on ignorance. It's not about, well, Pastor, we're not as hungry as you are. We don't. No, I want you to be as blessed. I want you to walk in all the good things. Amen. Man, if I could pray the devil off your back, I would. But you have to do something about him. Amen. It's the truth. So no faith, ignorance, and strife. Now get ready for this one. I'm going a little bit longer here, and we got to speed this thing up. Everybody quick, reach down, strap on your steel toes. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 14. John chapter 5 and verse 14, setting the place for the devil. People don't realize, they go through life, I'm just living life. Nope, don't set the table for him. He wants to mess you up. This is talking about the man that had the infirmity 38 years. He was sick. He got healed by Jesus. In verse 14, Jesus finding him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have been made whole. Sin, 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 sin. I know that's a dirty word in the church nowadays. Sin no more. What did Jesus say? Stop sinning. Yes. Oh, Pastor, that's so legalism. No, that's so Bible. Yes. The Bible still says, be holy as I'm holy. The Word still says, sin no more lest a worse thing come on you. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. Real quick. I'm going to show you what the Word says. We're talking about setting the table for the devil. Stop believing God for your healing if you're going to keep walking in sin. Yes, you're opening the door for the devil to come in. Stop it. If we have not changed, what power is there? We ought to be changed. We ought not be doing the same things that we've done year after year after year after year. There ought to be a work in us. Say, and I'll tell you what, and if you take this as condemnation, you've grabbed onto the wrong spirit. Because we ought to change. 1 John chapter 5 and verse, 18. Oh my gosh, I love people so much. I'm willing to tell you this and preach the hard stuff. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth or guardeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Amen. The wicked one. Listen, I'm all about grace, and I'm all about mercy when we slip up. But we ought to change and put the former. If we're going to keep sinning and keep confessing, oh, I'm blessed, I'm going to be healed, you're fooling yourself. You're mocking the Word of God. It's one thing when we slip up and trip up and mess up. Yes, there's mercy and forgiveness. But my God, we just keep going wrong, wrong, wrong. Never work to fix it. Never work to get better. The Bible says the wicked one has an entrance into your life. Do you see it? Amen. Do you think that I could have the power of God operating in my life if I'm still living the same way I was living before I was born again? Eventually, I had to put down the drinking. Eventually, I had to put down the smoking. Eventually, I had to put down looking at the wrong things. Eventually, I had to put down going to the wrong places. Why? Because it was an open door for the devil to come on in. Amen. I'm not going to apologize for preaching this either. This is the kind of stuff the devil beats me up. Why? Because he likes it when you're on his territory. It's not that God... Now, when you disobey the Holy Ghost, if God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you just open the door. What is sin? All sin is disobedience to God. The written word and whatever he speaks in your heart. If he tells you to do something and you're not doing it, you're darn right the door's open. Yeah. Absolutely, he's coming on it. Now, God's not doing it. He's not the destroyer, but you've opened the door. You say, why is God letting him in? He's not. You are. Yeah. You're the place setter for the devil. He told you to rule and reign over him. Praise God. Real quick, we're done with that point now. So number one, he said, cast out devils, do something about them. Number two, don't give place to the devil. Look at James chapter 4. I'm not going to preach on these. I'm just going to read them. James chapter 4, we're looking at the four places Jesus told Brother Hagin, do something about the devil. It's time to change, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to go a different direction, praise God. Why? We're going to close the door. There's too much for us. There's too much for us, praise God. James chapter 4 in verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. What's that mean? Obey Him. Yeah. Notice this, resist the devil. Who's supposed to resist the devil? You are. James wrote that to the church. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. One translation says, he'll run from you like in terror. You don't realize this, but the devil is so afraid of you. He's terrified of you. Why? You're Christ. He knows where you're seated. He's under your feet. We send the devil away. When we resist him, he runs, praise God. Hallelujah. But whose job is it to resist him? Not God's. It's your job to resist him. And then last but not least, 1 Peter chapter 5. We alluded to it a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be sober. Oh, why does it matter? Because the Word says it matters. Be sober and be vigilant. What's that mean? Be on guard. Be on watch. Don't put your head in the clouds. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, the who? The stealer, the killer, and the destroyer, wants to make your life hell on earth, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Why doesn't he devour everybody? Because he can't devour the ones that stand in authority. He can't devour the ones that stand in faith. He can't penetrate faith. He can't get over authority. The wicked one touches not the holy one. That's what the Word says. But he'll look for the people. Oh, who's got the... He'll go to the house. Oh, who's got the place? Oh, I see. I'm looking through the window. Oh, there's a place setting for me. I got a little card that says reserved for the devil. Oh, I'm going to go right in. As a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, verse 9, whom resist... Telling you again, steadfast in the faith. Mark 16 told you to cast out devils. Ephesians chapter 4 told you not to give place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 told you to get the shield of faith up. So actually there's five different places. Jesus just gave them four. James chapter 4 says you resist the devil and flee from you. And 1 Peter chapter 5 says you be sober and vigilant and you resist the devil. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now just you can close your Bibles, but just to spoil the devil's little tricks on you. Because he'll get you thinking, okay, I see now why things are the way they are. I see now why things have been the way they are in the past. That's just condemnation, and the devil throwing that in your face. You know what the answer to condemnation is? The blood of Jesus. Amen. If you realize, my God, I've been set in a place for him, repent. Ask God to forgive you. It's wiped away. It's like you're white as snow. He won't hold it against you. I won't hold it against you. And you shouldn't hold it against you. And if the devil brings it up, you say, devil, I've been forgiven. That thing's turning around, praise God. Amen. And if it's a situation in the past that can't be turned around, it's done and over with. It does you no good to go back there. God's forgot it. You need to forget it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So next week, we'll go on to part 3. Of the authority of the believer, and find out who we are in Christ, the position we are, and to learn to start using our authority. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Lord, I thank you for the patience of the people to sit here and listen longer than we normally have service for. But Father, we had to get these things out. Father, there's people that are hurting. They have authority. They have the ability to rule and reign. Lord, my heart breaks because, Lord, I'm privy to things. I know people's situations. People tell me things, and Lord, it breaks my heart. I wish I could take it away from them. I wish I could pray it away. I wish I could use my authority and my faith. But Father, you've equipped each believer. We have what it takes. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the TV preacher. It's not just the person that is a missionary. No, if we're a believer, we have the ability to slam the door shut on the devil and walk in victory, walk in joy, walk in peace. So Father, if we need to repent, we're going to repent. If we need to change, we're going to change. We're going to start finding out who we are. Lord, this stuff is too serious to mess. You know, that's good. Now just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. You know what the devil's not doing? He's not looking at you with mercy and saying, oh, they had a busy week. He talked about healing and service. He told them they should have heard about healing and service. And they had a busy week, so I'm not going to attack them in their body because No. The devil is not a merciful being. He's going to pounce where he can pounce. That's why God warned us and said, be vigilant. Be vigilant. Be on guard, praise God. So we're going to be. Devil, you're done. You don't have place in our lives anymore. Father, we worship you. Let's worship him together and just praise him for the word this morning. We bless you and magnify him. Father, we love you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around for everybody else's sake, out of respect. Everybody, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. When I ask myself that question, the answer is 100% yes. And I know because the Bible says, if I call on the name of the Lord Jesus, I'll be saved. He didn't say anything about church attendance or money or my good works outweighing my bad works. All he said was, if I call on Jesus' name, if I would believe in the Lord and ask him into my heart, I'd be saved. Well, I qualify because I believe in Jesus. And I've asked him into my heart, so I got saved. But if you're here today and you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, Pastor. I want to go to heaven. Let me tell you, it's a free gift. You don't have to come back here. You don't have to be a member of this church. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. I'm reminded of the guy on the cross who was a criminal and being put to death for his crime. And all he did was look at Jesus and say, I believe in you. He called on the name of the Lord and he was saved. He didn't go to church. He wasn't a good person by what we would call a good person standards. And he wasn't serving in his church and being a good guy. No, he was a bad guy. That's what he was being killed for. But yet he called on the name of Jesus and Jesus said, okay, you're in. That's all you need to do. If you're here today, you can say, I've never formally accepted Jesus into my heart, but I do believe in him. I do believe he died and rose again. I do want him to come into my heart. And you might say, but I'm a bad person. Who cares? The blood of Jesus is for your bad things. So I haven't gone to church. Church doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus does. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. If you want to receive Jesus this morning and ask him into your heart, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Anybody at all in here that wants to receive Jesus for the first time? I don't want to rush this. I don't know everybody. Anybody want to receive the Lord? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to receive Jesus this morning? Before we close, just lift your hand high in the air. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. It's a free gift. That's how good. That's why God, if people really knew how God was and how merciful, they'd run to him. He's so loving. He's not looking for you to do religious backflips and jump through religious hoops. Is there anybody else that you've never accepted Jesus and you want to be sure you're going to heaven? Lift your hand high in the sky. Anybody else? Father, I don't see any other hands. I saw one. And Lord, there might be other people in here that are just shy and didn't raise their hand. Or there might be people listening right now or in the future out of the archives. They've never received you. I thank you, Lord, you made it simple. Now, if you raised your hand or if you should have, there's one thing left to do. It's one thing to acknowledge that you believe in Jesus. It's another thing to actually invite him into your heart. You know, the devil knows that Jesus is real, but the devil wants nothing to do with him. And so Jesus is standing at the door knocking. We have to let him in. We let him in through our words. And I told you I wouldn't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, say anything on your own. And so if you raised your hand or if you should have, we're going to pray a prayer inviting Jesus into our heart. But you're not going to be the only one saying it. We as a church are going to lift our voice with you. And this is between you and God, but I just ask that you mean this with all your heart. But if you raised your hand, along with everybody else in the church, repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that the angels rejoice when one person gives their heart. I mean, we just set off a party in heaven. I mean, they're partying up there today. Praise God. Well, before you run out of here, just a reminder. Plant yourself in a Bible-teaching church, everybody. It doesn't have to be this one. Just make sure it's a Bible-teaching one. Be faithful. Do the word that you're taught. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, God's going to be handing out some mail. And we do have our fellowship right there. If your kids are in nursery, go get them. Amen? You're dismissed. Have a great rest of the weekend.